I'm not 50 yet, but I've been here at Fairhaven all my life. And so while I believe that everybody that's here could learn and gain from what I have to say, my primary focus and audience is if you grew up here. So I would like all college students that are Fairhaven College students to sit in the center section. Academy students that are from Fairhaven, guys on this side, girls on this side, and the rest of you, not to demean you or anything like that, but if you didn't grow up here, I'd like you to sit on the outside. Hopefully there's enough room in these sections. And hopefully I didn't split up too many couples. I don't think I split up any couples. Today, at least. Oh, one, yes. She was up there. That's why I didn't see that when we started. If there's not room on the outside, you can come in a little bit, but you can sit in here. So. God's providence, of course, arranged that today's chapel and today's chapel speaker and today's chapel topic would be right after yesterday evening's service and sermon. Right? I didn't know. Pastor Dammer didn't know. But God knew. And God knew that all of you that were here last night, that are here today, would have heard last night's sermon and would be here for today's. This subject is one that I've been thinking about speaking in chapel for months. And so you would think that I would have a very organized message. But even though I've been thinking about it for months, I can't seem to organize my thoughts as I would like to. Every time I consider it, my mind is bombarded with many situations and scenarios, and it's, to me, one of the utmost in importance of topics. So, I might ramble. I might get emotional as I can get. I might sound opinionated, but hopefully not irrational. So the topic I want to speak about this morning is the topic of authority. It's the topic of authority. I'm going to begin kind of with an illustration. And so let's just start with Matthew 28. Let's turn to Matthew 28, verse 18. Or let's look at verse 19, I guess. In Matthew 28, verse 19, if you needed to look at it, but I want you to look there because we're going to look around it. The Bible says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." So in this verse, which we all recognize as the Great Commission, every single Christian, theologically, under the authority of their church, is commanded to teach, to preach the gospel to everybody around them, and to tell those who have believed to be baptized, and to teach them all kinds of other things that they should do, that they're not doing. If we were to just stop and think about that in a little way, and that's what we're doing right now, I want you to think, how is it that I or you have any authority at all? What right do I have to tell people around me that they are lost and on their way to hell. If you've told people that, maybe they said that to you. Who are you to tell me that I'm lost and on my way to hell? What right do I have to tell them that they must change their ways, that they must turn to Christ and be saved? Now the answer is obvious, isn't it? It's in verse 18, right? Jesus said, "All power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and do it." So what did he do? God, Jesus said, "I have all the authority, I have all the power, and I'm giving it to you. I'm making you the person that's going to take care of this for me." One of the reasons he did that is because he was going to heaven. He was on the earth for a few years. But he's not here on the earth anymore. So he needs people to do what he wants them to do. And he's given each of us the authority to tell people that they're wrong and they need to change their ways and get saved. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18, let's go ahead and turn over there. 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 18 says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ stead, be ye reconciled to God." So we, every believer, is given the ministry of reconciliation. We are ambassadors for Christ. Do we deserve this role? Do we deserve to be the ambassadors of the God of heaven? Is there some merit in us that, you know, God was looking over the earth and thought, "Oh, there's somebody that would be a good ambassador for me. I'm going to make them my ambassador." No, we're all wretched sinners. But because God loved us, he saved us. And just because we received his gift of salvation, he said, "Now you're my ambassador." We do not deserve this position. And yet, we fail the king of the world if we don't do what we're supposed to do. If we don't fulfill the role that God has given us. What happens to us, or what happens if we don't do what we are told to do? What happens to us if we don't do what we're told to do? What happens to others if we don't do what we are told to do? And what we have there is God is the ruler of everything, and he's made those that have believed on his Son his ambassadors. He's given them authority to tell others that they're lost and that they need to come to Christ. Right? In God's world, in the world that God made. Now, some people in this room and some people and a lot of people in the world they don't think about the world that God made. They don't think God made the world. But in the world that God made, this is how authority works. God made a world with an authority structure. He is the king. He is the sovereign. He is absolutely supreme and sovereign. And yet, no one here has ever seen God. He is here. He hears what I'm saying. He sees what you are doing. He knows what each of us is thinking. But we don't see him. God also, though, or because of that, God has given, God gives humans varying responsibilities to carry out His will. Just because we can't see Him doesn't mean He doesn't care what happens here on the earth. He is still the King. He still rules the world. This world is His world, and He expects it to run and operate the way He has designed it to operate. When it doesn't, things are horrible for those who experience that. When it does run the way He wants it to, life is good, we might say. But the way God has designed it, then, is under His authority, human beings have varying responsibilities to carry out His will. Every Christian, He gives authority to. He gives each of us who's believed on His Son the authority to tell others that they're sinners and that they need to come to Christ themselves. Right? He gives governors authority. We'll use the biblical word governors. But in our country, that could be all kinds of different people, right? We have presidents, we have governors, we have sheriffs, we have all kinds of different people. And God has given them authority. He's given their office authority. And God, and we do well to obey that authority, right? God has given pastors authority. And God has given parents authority. Every single person in God's world, and that's the only real world. Now, there's a lot of people, like we said, who act like they live in a different world where this is not true. If you're not living like this is true, you're not thinking like God does. But in God's world, and that's the only real world, we are all under authority. Every single person in the world is under authority. There are no gaps in God's authority over our lives. Folks, our age, or your age, we tend to think that there is. We tend to think, when I was younger, I had to obey my parents. When I'm older, I'll have to do what God says. But I'm in this adolescent age, where I'm in transition. No one is in transition in God's world. A daughter is under her father's authority, and in one moment, she becomes under her husband's authority. Okay? And that's just one illustration. No one, we are all under authority because that's the way God designed the world. Now, while he knows that everyone who He's given authority to are human beings and sinners, in kind at least, God expects the same submission to His deputies as He does for Himself. Now, by that I mean that God expects you to obey your parents like He is the one that lived in your parents' bedroom. God expects you to obey your pastor like He is the one, like God Himself is the one that gets up and preaches each Sunday. God expects you to obey your government like He is the one who is driving the state trooper car or whatever other situation. Now, we are human beings. Our ultimate submission is to God Himself. But in the way God works, the way He looks at authority is like what I just described. Let's just use a flawed example. We live in Indiana. Our governor, what's his first name? Eric. Eric Holcomb is our governor. The juniors are down there at the state house today. Maybe they'll get to see him. Maybe not. But I voted for Eric Holcomb to be our governor. I live a life of submission in a governmental sense to Eric Holcomb. He's my governor. But he's in Indianapolis. So when I get out on the highway, I don't care that in his state the speed limit says 55. I drive 85. I've got things to do. I've got places to go. Things are very important. Eric Holcomb is not around. I can't see him. He can't see me. But there's a state trooper who does see me. And he pulls me over. Am I living in submission to Eric Holcomb? No. Not when I'm speeding down the highway or down this road, whatever road you want to say, right? I'm not. And the state trooper can say, you are disobeying the law. You are disobeying the governor's law. And I can say, well, where's the governor? Okay? Do you see the ridiculousness of that statement? It is flawed. It's a flawed analogy, but it's also true. The governor has employed that state trooper to carry out his wishes in the state of Indiana. And the governor expects me to respect the state trooper just as much as I respect the governor. In the same way, God has employed, he has deputized parents, pastors, governors to accomplish what he wants. And he expects us to obey those authorities in our life, just as if he was that person. So, we lie to ourselves when we say, I would obey God, but I don't need to obey his representatives. If I said to the state trooper, you know what? If Eric Holcomb was in the car, I would have driven the speed limit. But since it wasn't him, you know, what's the state trooper going to say? Yeah, right. Okay? And when we sit there and say, I am doing what God wants, but my parents are flawed, and what they want, I'm going to make them think I'm doing what they want, but I'm going to do what I want. Or, I want to do what God wants, but at Fairhaven, I've heard. I grew up here, but I've heard from other people that Fairhaven has strong rules. Not everybody's like Fairhaven. And so I want to find out about that. I want to live a different life. God doesn't see that as being submissive to him. Because his deputy in your life, Fairhaven Baptist Church, is who he's put here for you to submit to him through. What if somebody says, I would obey God, but I don't need to obey his representatives? What happens? What is the result of that? What is the result when the subject is the gospel? If somebody says, I love God, but I'm not going to listen to what you say about the gospel. I have my own thoughts about the gospel. What is the result? Death, damnation, hell. Unless you're preaching a false gospel. So the issue is very, very important. I want us to now turn to Luke chapter 20. I'm going to read a portion of Psalm 118 while you turn there. Psalm 118, verses 22 through 26 says, the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Do you recognize some of those phrases? If you're familiar with the life of Christ, a lot of that was said right toward the end of his life. And if you're familiar with the Bible in the book of Luke, you know that Luke 20 is right at the end of his life. So in Luke 20, verse 1, oh, I didn't turn there. I have it printed here, but I think I'm in verse 1. And it came to pass on one of those days as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, the chief priests and scribes came upon him with the elders and spake unto him, saying, tell us, by what authority? See, isn't life about authority? By what authority doest thou these things? Or who is he that gave thee this authority? And he answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one thing and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Basically, what authority did John have? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then believe ye him not? But if we say of men, all the people will stone us, for they be persuaded that John was a prophet. And they answered that they could not tell whence it was. Now we know, because they knew, we know their thoughts, that it wasn't that they could not, it was that they would not. And that's a question of authority. It's not a question of ability. They could not. It's a question of authority. They refused to acknowledge Christ's authority in that question. They would not tell whence it was. And Jesus said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Then began he to speak to the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard, led it forth to husbandmen, and went into a far country for a long time. And at the season, he sent a servant to the husbandmen that they should give him of the fruits of the vineyard. Why would they do that? It's his vineyard. But the husbandmen beat him and sent him away empty. And again, he sent another servant, and they beat him also and entreated him shamefully and sent him away empty. And again he sent a third, and they wounded him also and cast him out. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be they will reverence him when they see him. But when the husbandmen saw him, and who was he? He was a representative of the authority. They reasoned among themselves, saying, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. So let's kill the authority so that we can do what we want to do. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? He shall come and destroy these husbandmen and shall give the vineyard to others. When they heard it, they said, God forbid. And he beheld them and said, what is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Now, the interaction with the question, the parable, and the application are all in the same place. These are not three different things in the life of Christ. They're all connected. And they all have to do with authority. And authority, in a sense, is the issue of all time. Even in the beginning with Adam and Eve. In the very beginning, God said, do this. Don't do this one thing. Just one thing. But Eve and Adam with her decided they could do one thing. They decided they would be the authority. Even before that, with Lucifer. All through time, men have tried to be their own authority for their own life, even when submitting to a religion they've established themselves. They might submit to a religion, but it's not God's religion. It's something that they've set up themselves. So that submission is still ruling their own life. Because authority, submission, true submission comes when we submit to God. But when men are broken by the stone, that's Christ, submitting to its or his authority, recognizing his chief position, its place of headship, they escape being ground into powder. When men reject the stone on their or mankind's knowledge of authority, when they reject Christ's authority, going off of their own thoughts or their own authority, Their expected end is to be crushed into powder. This is a universal truth, and it can be applied in all situations. It can be applied to our culture. You know, we can have America, the greatest nation in the world, but if we don't acknowledge God, our culture will be crushed into powder. Nationally, religiously, personally, in our church. The only way for a person, a church, or a nation to escape being ground into powder is to fall on Jesus Christ, breaking their own authority and submitting completely to His authority. When a person does that, Jesus saves them and gives them eternal life. And if you have done that, you should continue in that way, submitting continually to His authority in order to have the most blessed circumstances of life. So, now we get to the real personal part. Some concluding thoughts, some practical real life examples. Now, I may be wrong here, but I don't think so. Don't think I'm that old, but I've been around for a little while. And I am sure that people who would have sat where you are, and maybe some of you, have heard things like this. You were in a different place, or you were here. But you're in another church or another situation that's different from us. And somebody says to you, see, you don't have to be like Fairhaven to be a good Christian. Now listen to this closely. Anybody that says that in that manner to somebody your age or younger is speaking for Satan. Now, they might be speaking like Peter did to Christ. Peter thought he was saying something good. But they still are. Now, if Jesus was God, He turned to Peter and rebuked him. And maybe you have a level of influence with a person that says that to you and you could rebuke them. But that's unlikely. I say, get away from them. Don't work for them. And I mean this, don't intern for them. It's perfectly fine to get away. Every other place from Fairhaven is different from Fairhaven. And there's lots of godly people out there. I don't have a problem telling you that. But I'm not trying to get you to leave the place and the things that God has put you under to learn all your life. I'm not saying, see, you can be a good Christian. You don't have to be like Fairhaven to be a good Christian. I'm sorry. Not you guys. And maybe at this moment you have the wrong attitude and this would be your thought. But unfortunately for you, God put you here. So doing what we do is what you have to do to be a good Christian. It is true. And truly godly people know how important the proper view of authority is. God put you here because He wanted you to have these standards. He wanted other people to have other standards. I mean, I'll grant it. Standards are a thing that we just look at and we say, this is the way that we feel is the best way to accomplish what God wants us to as Fairhaven Baptist Church. But God, in His sovereignty, and He is the sovereign, He's the one in charge. He's the authority. He puts you here. So He thinks it's best. He thinks this way is the best way for you to do this. And I had you guys sit on the outside because he didn't rear you up here. Now, he brought you here, and he wants you to learn something from us. But you guys, God had you born here or saved here. And this is what he wants for you. Let's think about authority. The Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother. Do we know what that means? The Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you. What context is that? That's in the church, right? The Bible says, submit yourself to every ordinance of man. What if you and I did that? If all we did, if we just did that with a submissive attitude, unless we were asked to sin. I know we ought to obey God rather than man. God is, I'm obeying, but that's the whole point of what I'm saying. Too many of us think we're obeying God while we're disobeying our parents, or while we're not honoring our parents, or while we are not submissive to the place that God has put us. God put you here, and you know what? He knew what the music standards were before you were even born. God knew God knew how you would be taught about how to relate to one another. As far as dating and whatever word we're going to use about it, God knew that. He knew it. Submit to him. I had this friend I met at Empowered Youth, and they have a boyfriend or they have a girlfriend. Or they want to be my boyfriend or girlfriend. And in your heart, in your conscience that you've squashed, you know you shouldn't do it. Not because it's a sin for that person, but because you've been brought up in a place that doesn't do it that way. Authority, God's authority says, I submit to that. Is it a sin just to do what you're told? What if we just did that, honored our father and mother, obeyed our church authority, obeyed our government authority, unless we were asked to sin? Dress standards. We have certain, somebody says, I don't think you should wear that. And they're an authority in your life. Are they asking you to sin? No. So just do it. Just do it. And don't come out the next day with a different way, hoping you don't see them the next day. That's unsubmissive, even if you're going through the motions. Entertainment. Conduct between genders. This is actually a last week illustration. Actually, a this morning illustration. If I meet a lady or a girl and I shake their hand, is that a sin? Does anybody think it's a sin for me to touch that woman by shaking her hand? No. So I'm trying to make a point. It's not a sin. But when your parents have expressed to you that they don't want you fist bumping and you do it, is it a sin that that tiny bit of skin touched another person's skin? Not necessarily. The sin is that you disobeyed your parents. And you did it this morning. Do you need to ask? Is this something I should do? If it's something people... This blanket statement, there's all kinds of holes you could poke in it, okay? But if it's doubtful, it's dirty. We could poke holes in that if we want to be New York lawyers. But if we want to be in submission to God by submitting to our parents and our pastor's authority, if it's doubtful, it's dirty. Finding out what you're going to do. Here's just another topic. Finding out what you're going to do for the Lord with your life has been twisted by our culture into a very problematic, rebellious situation. That's my last point, but listen to me. Don't go down the hall to lunch yet. You know, what if you're already in the place that God wants you? Could God be so smart? Could he be so smart that he actually has you born in the place where he wants you to be? With parents that would guide you in the place he wants you to go. With a pastor in a church that would train you to do the things that he wants you to do. Do you really think that you've got to leave the place that God has put you to find out what God wants you to do with your life? Yeah, I'm being sarcastic. I'm mocking the stupidity. It's bred and its seed is rebellion. I'm not saying that everybody that's born here has to stay here all their life. I don't think that. But if your heart's desire is to get away and find out what God wants you to do, your heart's desire is rebellious. You're not in submission to God. What if you only left the place that God put you with the blessings of the authority God put in your life? See, that's the key. God put you here, and he put you under authority. What if you only left if you had the blessings of the authority God put in your life? Lots of people have left here. And some have left with the blessings of our church and their parents, and they are thriving for the Lord. But there's others that have left. They're not honoring their parents. Their parents may have said, okay, you can go. But they know full well they're not doing what their parents really want them to do. If they were honest with themselves, they didn't talk to their church authority. They just kind of left. Yeah, I'm doing this. But they're at a Christian college. They're living in rebellion by being there. No, not everyone. Everyone else there isn't sinning. Everybody else there that went under their parents' authority blessing and their church's blessing, yep, that's another place. God has that place in there to accomplish part of his will. But they are sinning by being there, because they have rebelled against God's authority in their life. They have decided they're going to go their own way, and they're going to justify it to themselves by going their own way to another Christian college. I'm not saying that none of you should go to a different Christian college, but I'm saying you better not go without honoring your parents and talking to the authority in this church that God has given you and going under or with their blessing. God built the world as a place of authority. He's the ultimate authority, and he put us in it. And people that don't submit to Christ's authority, people that don't break themselves on the rock of Christ's authority, Christ said, will be ground to powder by it. Will you submit yourself, break yourself, or will you not and end up with a life that's dashed to smithereens? Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would use these words that I know you've put in my heart. I pray that I did not speak them in a way that was malicious or harmful. Lord, you know how much I care for each person who's grown up here especially, and every other person here, Lord, we cannot know your peace and joy if we live in rebellion to any aspect of what you'd have for us in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would use your word and the truths and the principles that we've talked about today to change us. Lord, there may be people here who are doing everything I've said, but in their thoughts, their attitude is not one of submission. Their understanding is not. They would excuse what we've talked about in other people for many different reasons. Lord, help us to gain a truly biblical understanding of how you look at the world and how we are to live within it. I pray that you'd be honored and glorified by what's been said this morning. In Jesus' name, let's stand together with our heads bowed and eyes closed. The instrument will play a song of invitation, and the Lord has dealt with you about